Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
The city of LA is a formality away from becoming a sanctuary city by law.
I can't think of a more pressing issue than this one today. Now's the time to make our message loud and clear.
It's November 19th. This is the LA Local, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm Alex Silverman. Also coming up, a very odd scene at a downtown construction site.
A woman came onto the lot, said her husband was in a hole here, and jumped in.
And what's better at diagnosing a patient? A doctor or ChatGPT?
A computer can't really make medical decisions. It can't take responsibility for those medical decisions.
But the results of a study might surprise you. It's all ahead, but first this. Hey, if you're listening to this in an article on KNXnews.com, go right now to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, search for the LA Local, hit follow, and you'll get an update every weekday afternoon on everything you need to know that's happening in Southern California, and the morning and evening updates, too, from our colleagues at KNX News. A lot of people, including the mayor, were surprised to learn that Los Angeles is actually not a sanctuary city. There was an executive action taken by Mayor Garcetti, but it wasn't enshrined in law. And now, with Donald Trump taking office in a couple of months, City Hall got its butt into gear to try and make that happen. Craig Figner's been covering this at City Hall.
And this story really has been a collection of twists and turns all day. It was a unanimous vote. Council did support this idea of making Los Angeles a sanctuary city and saying to all city employees, including those at LAPD, that they are not to interact or cooperate with any federal immigration agent or agency. But there were also a couple of last minute changes here at LA City Hall, changes that procedurally mean that even though it got enough votes to pass today, it does need a second vote next week on the yes vote. There were 13 council members present. Just two absences, Park and Lee. Here's a council member, Curran Price.
Given the re-election of Donald Trump and the consistent hate speech towards undocumented people and mixed-status families, I can't think of a more pressing issue than this one today. Now's the time to make our message loud and clear. Trump has had his say, but now it's our turn to respond with decisive action and full force of law. On our side.
The mayor's signature makes it to take effect as local city law immediately, no waiting 30 days. And they also resolved this question of the one instance where LAPD potentially could interact with federal law enforcement, and that would be if there is somebody who's committed a crime in America, has been deported, and has come back to America. They could then help the feds capture that person for returning to the country. That would be the one instance.
So it was unanimous in the city council, but not unanimous across the board. There are people who think that there are risks involved in making the city officially a sanctuary. John Baird talked to Shari Rendell with FAIR, which is the Federation for American Immigration Reform.
You think, first off, the city becoming a sanctuary city is going to put people in danger. Is that correct?
That is correct. When you become a sanctuary, you're sending a message that says that you put individuals who are here illegally, who have criminal aliens, above others in the community.
Basically, you're focusing on the people with criminal records. Is that right? That's where you say the danger is coming from?
Yes. The bottom line is, if people are coming into the country illegally, you don't know who they are. They haven't been vetted. They're coming in our back door, not our front door.
To be clear, those policies are already in place. This would just make them permanent by law. Rendell also says the moves by the LA school board to protect immigrants and their family members are unnecessary because she says schools and churches and hospitals are considered sensitive locations and are not usually targeted by immigration officials unless it's a matter of national security or public safety, though it remains to be seen how President Trump will use the federal immigration authorities at his disposal under a new administration. Update on the story we focused on yesterday, the social media travel influencer charged with murder in the death of an 83-year-old woman in a traffic crash in West Hollywood. We've learned now the DA's office is prosecuting the Garrett Bruno case as a Watson murder. That's a second-degree murder charge that can be brought under California law when someone dies as a result of somebody driving under the influence of either alcohol or drugs, and the defendant acts with implied malice. Now, implied malice means a conscious and knowing disregard for human life. We don't know what specifically the prosecutors believe that Garrett Bruno was on when he hit and killed 83-year-old Esther Abuab back on October 10th. We do now know that Bruno is in the hospital with a severe head injury from an unrelated accident, reportedly a scooter crash that happened about 2 weeks later. And so the case is on hold for the moment until he's able to be in court and hear the charges against him. Strange incident in downtown L.A. this morning. A woman leaped into a hole at a construction site and then wouldn't come out.
I spoke with members of the demolition crew at a vacant lot here at 6th and Bixel. They told me they called police and rescue after a woman came onto the lot, said her husband was in a hole here, and jumped in. LAFD Captain Adam Van Gerpen says it wasn't easy getting her out.
She was resisting coming out, and she climbed farther back in there, so that's why we used LAPD to assist us getting her into a harness where we could safely remove her.
He says it was clear the woman was suffering from mental health issues.
And she's going to be evaluated, be put on a 5150 hold.
Meaning she'll be held for 72 hours in a hospital psych ward.
That's Karen Adams downtown. In San Diego, Coast Guard crew spent part of the day unloading a lot of cocaine, 29,000 pounds of it that they recently seized in 9 smuggling busts. It happened in coastal waters off Mexico and Central and South America. Here's Captain James O'Mara, the Coast Guard cutter Monroe, praising the efforts of his crew in some of those busts.
Every day we launch our pursuit boats, we launch armed helicopter, we launch our unmanned aviation system, and we go out there and get the job done in very dangerous circumstances.
His ship was among 4 that made those busts in September and October. 29,000 pounds of cocaine, worth on the street almost $336 million. Tonight at midnight, thousands of UC healthcare and campus workers are going on strike. That includes UCLA and UC Irvine. So what does it mean for healthcare?
Here in Southern California, this includes patient care and other workers at UCLA and UC Irvine medical centers, including techs, respiratory therapists, people who maintain the parking facilities, food services, security, the list goes on.
You know, people are paid so little they have to sleep in their car, sleep on a friend's couch, commute three hours each way to work.
Todd Stenhouse is a spokesperson for Local 3299 that represent nearly 40,000 UC workers. The contract expired at the end of August.
We have been prepared to come to the table to meet with UC to offer them proposals. We have offered them proposals, and time and again, we get told we don't have authority to negotiate. We got UC showing up unprepared. We got UC switching negotiators midstream.
UC officials have denied allegations of unfair bargaining tactics, say they have proposed a minimum wage of at least $25 an hour for all workers.
Again, they say they have a detailed plan to maintain all patient care during the strike. And that was Emily Valdez covering. So let's say you get sick, need to see a doctor, but you have a choice. You can either see a human doctor or have AI diagnose you. What would you do? There's a small study that found entering medical files directly into ChatGPT actually outperformed doctors. And doctors who were using ChatGPT. Robert Gallo is a health policy researcher at Stanford who worked on this.
The main finding for the study was that the doctors didn't seem to know how to utilize AI yet. They were kind of using it like, you know, many people would use a Google search and not giving the model the full kind of history of the patient.
Yeah, we know that ChatGPT works best when you give it the knowledge rather than saying, go out and find the knowledge. Gallo says doctors should be trained to properly use AI.
I think a lot of people are kind of reading the headline of the article and thinking that this means that AI should replace doctors, but really that is not the case. This wasn't a test of doctoring. You know, this doesn't test all the different things a doctor does. We were really looking at kind of one specific component of how doctors think and reason through a patient's case to come to a diagnosis. And so, you know, we see a lot of opportunity for these models to help doctors with that, which we've known for a long time. It can be pretty hard, especially doctors are very busy. But, you know, we didn't test everything that's involved in being a doctor.
And particularly on the legal side, there is no way for AI to take over the entire role of a doctor.
A computer can't really make medical decisions. It can't take responsibility for those medical decisions. And so really it's still on doctors and patients to weigh, you know, kind of if they're getting information from an AI chatbot, to weigh that information and decide if it seems useful.
Now, there are problems with biases in AI training models, but one advantage AI does have is it doesn't have a certain kind of bias. It can second guess itself without feeling its initial thought was correct, like humans tend to do. And that's the LA Local for this 19th of November, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. See the inventory, all 14 dealerships at lacarguy.com. 97.1 FM. Ask your smart speaker to play KNX News, Alexa, or Google, or get the Odyssey app, search for KNX, follow us there. And follow the LA Local on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. And you'll get the show every weekday afternoon. We're back tomorrow. I'm Alex Silverman. See ya.